So that's off last week. We speak a little bit about the mitzvah of tekiyah shofar, both on the level of the Rais and the level of the Rabbanim. The Gemara says that Chazal added on a little bit to the mitzvah of tekiyah shofar, that we blow the tekiyah stem Yusha, the tekiyah stem Umba, different opinions, which is exactly a which. But the bottom line is we pretty much repeat ourselves. Whatever we did before Musaf, we then go ahead and repeat during Chazar HaShatz, or in the Sechfard, even during Asar and Shemoneh Esrei as well. We mentioned last week that even though in the period of the Gaonim, it wasn't an exact repetition, that the way they blew during Musaf was a little bit less than it was before Musaf, but the Maaseh, for practical purposes, most communities don't have that custom anymore. We blow pretty much the same thing. So we have a whole set of tekiyahs before Musaf, and a whole set of tekiyahs during Musaf. The Rishonim were actually bothered with the question, what gives us a right to blow tekiyahs in such a manner? Why isn't that a violation of Al-Tosif? The Torah says that all you have to blow is three truas, and each trua has to be surrounded by tekiyah. So the fact that we have to cover ourselves in all bases, sveikas, etc., that's not the problem of Al-Tosif. But we know for a fact, when we get to those words, Ashram Yodei Shruah, so for better or for worse, we know we're Yaitzei the Mitzvah. So what gives us a right to blow additionally? Why isn't that the equivalent of adding on a fifth parsha to the tefillin, or why isn't that the equivalent of adding on another min to the dalet minim? So there are different reasons in the Rishonim that are given to justify the blowing the additional kolos. So Tosfos in Maseches Rosh Hashanah Daf Kaf Ches has a famous yesod. The Tosfos says that bal Tosfos means when you change a mitzvah. When you simply repeat a mitzvah, that's not called bal Tosfos. So Tosfos says, let's say for example, you shake a lulav once, then shake a lulav a second time, shake a lulav a third time, fourth time, that's not bal Tosfos. But Taisa says, if you add a rose to the Dalamidim, so then you change the Tzuris and Mitzvah. So to over here, if I blow Tkiyas, truest Tkiyas, like I'm supposed to blow, and then I decide and I say, I want to add on a kol, I want to add on Happy Birthday, and I start blowing the shofar to another tune, saying that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to blow Yankee Doodle, so that's an Issa Deraisa of Baal Taisa. But if I'm not blowing Yankee Doodle, I'm just blowing Nachat Trua, Nachat Trua, Nachat Kiyah, Nachat Kiyah, the same thing, just chasming off again. So Taisa writes, that's never considered to be Baal Taisa. That's a big Kiddush of Taisa. So Taisa has a couple of fascinating rayas, beyond the scope of our discussion right now, but just to weigh your appetite a little bit, Taisa brings you some rayas that that's the case. So Taisa says, if not for what we're saying, you wouldn't be permitted to eat even a molecule more than a kezias of matzah by the Seder. The Torah says you have to eat a kezias, so if you eat more than a kezias, you know, about Taisa says that's obviously silly, so it must be, we must be right. Others have different ways of defending that. Then Taisa has an even more phenomenal riot. Taisa says that if not for Ashtipul Torah, then if you would build a four-wall sukkah, you would be in violation of Al-Tosif. Torah says you build a three-wall sukkah, you went ahead and built a fourth wall, don't miss about Al-Tosif. So Tosfos says, why is that wrong? Because we're right. That adding on to a mitzvah is not really considered to be Al-Tosif. So Tosfos themselves get a little bit shaky about that riot. It's not so simple, that's such a good riot. So again, we're not learning the sukkah about Al-Tosif right now. But suffice it to say, the very blowing of the extra kolos during Musaf is highly questionable. What gives us a right to do so? So the Rashba of Tezayin and Rosh Hashanah says he doesn't even understand Taisa's Kasha. The Rashba says, well, Taisif means when you as an individual add on to the Mitzvah Torah. Here, I'm not adding on. The Chum told me to do it. The Rabbanim were misakim, to blow extra kolos. So the Rashba says, we have another word that also has the same Rosh Hashanah, Beis Atof. It's called, Lososer, not Simosh, Lamedo, called Lososer. Instead of Lososer, it's called Lososer. You have to listen to the Chachamim. But Tosfos means you as a Meshuggah want to add on an extra mint to the Ulav. So that you're not allowed to do. But if the Chachamim would be Mesakin, they add on an extra mint. So you have to listen to them. So to over here, the Chachamim are Mesakin to blow the extra colors. So for Shteitzel, of course you have to blow the extra colors. That's not a shout about Tosfos. The Rashi doesn't know what Tosfos is bothered with in the first place. But no matter how the dust settles, everyone agrees you're allowed to blow extra colors. And that's exactly what we do. Not only are you allowed to, but you actually bechuyev to, minatar. The Rabbanim. So the bottom line is, after you blew before Musaf and after you blow during Musaf, you're good to go. Imam Shiyotzi l'choladeyas b'lishim sofik. There are more quotes. We have another minig, a much, much later minig than days ago. Adam didn't have, Ram didn't have. We have a later minig to add on another 40 kolos for good luck at the end of the davening. That's for Im Sisra, Maislech, Amei Kolos, that was a Sisra Torah, those for other reasons. But the Iker, Tkiyas, one is for sure Yaitse by the time one finishes the Musaf. Because we have this practice that Chazal mandated for us to repeat the Tekiyah Shofar, this enables us to play certain games in Tekiyah Shofar, and it also causes some potential problems in Tekiyah Shofar. So one of the games that enables us to play is that we thought that we were good L'chol Adeus. We thought that we figured out how to blow a trua with all opinions. So we're in for a chiddush. There is a machlekes Rav Hittam and other Rishonim about what exactly the sound of a shvarim tru is supposed to be. What's the shayla? So many of the Rishonim, probably most of the Rishonim, of the opinion that if shvarim tru is the true amur b'tar, remember that was the suffix of last week, either it's a suffix or it's a vada, whatever the lomdus of Haigon and the Rambam was last week, but we make believe that we're not sure what the kodos are, and therefore the shvarim tru is a potential, the true amur b'tar. So most of the Rishonim say, if it's a true amur b'tara, so then it's one unit. So the shvarim tru has to sound as follows. Do, 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 do. You can't stop in the middle. Break. That would be like blowing a shvarim like this. Do, let's take a little break. Do, that's not a shvarim. I blow a trua. Do, 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 do. Oh, go have kiddush, come back. So it has to be in shibach. It has to be one breath. It has to be one unit. So if Shvarim Tur is the true Amur Batayra, so then most of the Rishayim say it has to be blown Dafka B'Nishima Achas. And Rabbi Natam disagrees. Rabbi Natam says the other extent of Rabbi Natam says, no, that since the whole Kailas is supposed to, the true is supposed to mimic a cry, that's what we said last week, it's supposed to be Yom Yavah, it's supposed to sound like a cry. So Rabbi Natam says you have to listen to your little 3-year-old sister how she cries. So she cries like this. Then she winds up. But before she winds up, she's got to get a good breath in. Otherwise, it's going to be a very shvach wimp. So she comes up for air, gets some oxygen, and then goes wham with a So Ben Tam says that if Shvarim Trua is the Bechi, is the Yalala that we're trying to mimic, so then Darko of such a Yalala is Dafka Bebez Neshima. So therefore, the correct way to blow a Shvarim Trua is Dafka Bebez Neshima. So Machoz Ben Tam and the other Rishon. So the Beis Yosef writes that he thinks that, according to the other Rishayim, that has to be Minashima Achas, it's Mamash Likuva. Because they're giving a real svar their eyes. So they're saying that if it's Mamash Kol Echad, so then how can you break up a kol in the middle? It doesn't make any sense. So imagine you break up a tekiah. I'll blow half the tekiah in one breath, I'll take a break, I'll half tekiah. That's ridiculous. Obviously, each kol has to be Minashima Achas. So according to the svar of the other Rishayim, that this is a Dimina Torah, that the Shvarim Tru has to be Minashima Achas. So for Shneitzchitz ma'achdei b'di'evah. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, that the whole reason why the Shvarim Trua is supposed to be based on Shimos, that's such a funny reason, such a hashkafa, the reason, because it sounds more like a cry, and it doesn't sound like a cry if it's been Shimachas. And the little baby that doesn't wind up for the extra breath is not crying. So it's also a cry. So Rabbeinu Tam is just saying that it's more appropriate to be based on Shimos, but it's not Li'ikuva, claims the Beis Yosef B'das Rabbeinu Tam. So I'm not saying everyone agrees with the Beis, that's what the Beis Yosef suggests, even Medash Rabbein Tam. So because of this nuance of Machloikis, Tir Rabbein Tam, and the other Rishayim, and what is Shvarim Tru supposed to sound like, so the later post can say that we want to walk away from Rosh Hashanah, Asher, and Yodis, we want to be Yetzir L'Chaladeus. So the practice became that the many shuls, they blow both. I mean, some of the true, some of the Shvarim Tru, they blow one way, and some of the Shvarim Tru, they blow the other way. So what's the breakdown? So in many communities, they have the practice, the Shulchan Aruch holds such a practice, that we split between the tekiahs in the form of Musaf and the tekiahs drawing the Musaf. Since Baruch Hashem Chazal and Misachin to us, the second sets of tekiahs, so since, and our practice is that we blow three Shvarim Truas, we blow for each one Shvarim Trua. So we have the ability to split. So many shuls have this practice that the tekiahs, what we call the tekiahs to miyushuv. Most of the Rishonim's opinion is the tekiahs to miyushuv are the ones before Musaf. So the ones before Musaf, we blow b'nishim achas, because that's Rova Rishonim, and that's the real Likuva, and that's the real Dindaraisa. And then Liyasa's ace, to just in case Rabbeinu Tam really said you weren't Yates, in case the Beis Yosef isn't right. So Liyasa's ace, and we throw in a couple of tashrats, the Beis Nishimas. So that's what some shuls do. And other shuls have a different practice. Other shuls have the practice that they blow, even during the Shemoneh Esrei, during Musaf, they blow b'nishim achas, because that's the Ikra, that's Rova Rishonim, and even Rabbeinu Tam. The problem the Beis Yosef says b'di'evet, so we don't want to stop pachkin around with any tekiahs that are really mikra din, like I'll say that brachas, we don't want to get into trouble. So therefore, some have the practice that we blow everything, b'nishim achas, and then after davening's over, after musaf, anyway, those tekiahs are just the Eim Sisra will rely on Rabbeinu Tam. So the Eim Sisra for the extra 40 tekiahs at the end, so then we'll throw in for good luck Beis Nishimas. That's what many shuls do. Then there's the third practice that's not so common, Bizman Hazan. I don't know of any shuls that do this anymore. This was the minig of the Ramah. The Ramah writes that you should blow everything for Beis Nishimas. That we pass the Rabbeinu Tam against the other Rishonim and Ashurim and Nimrod Gomel. That's it. Allah says Rabbeinu Tam, and everything should be done by Beis Nishimas. I don't know of any shuls that do that anymore, but more prevalent in Hagim we probably have Bizman Hazan, or either to split between the Miyushiv and the Mu'umad, or to do everything Beis Nishimachas, then throw in a couple of Beis Nishimas is for good luck at the end of davening. So in Ashur, we do the second practice that we do everything Beis Nishimachas, then very very end after Musaf, everyone's on the way out already. So then we throw in through Rabbeinu Tam Tashrats for good luck. Because we have this practice that Chazal mandated for us to blow at two different times, this opens up a whole question in terms of Hilchos Brachos. Because normally when you do a mitzvah, you're supposed to make a bracha before you do a mitzvah. So we recite a bracha before we begin the mitzvah to Tekiyah Shofar, and you're not allowed to be mafzik between saying the bracha and doing the mitzvah. Shalos, what about over here? I make the bracha and I start doing the mitzvah, but there are different components and different parts of the mitzvah. So am I permitted to be mafzik between the Tekiyah Shofar Yushim and the Tekiyah Shofar Umar? So let's say I'm... Normally, I should be davening Musaf dance. I'm not supposed to be talking anyway. Because shots, anyway, you're not supposed to be talking. But there are other times, a little bit of downtime. So as they're putting the Sefer Torah away, so is that a good time to catch up on my schmoozing with the guy next to me? Or is the Chazan's kveshin ahini for 20 minutes? Or am I allowed to, talk to, ask somebody about what he thinks about the daf? You know, something very important, or to be Mahar and Shuvah with somebody, about that, whatever. So am I allowed to do those kinds of things, because on the one hand, I already finished the Tekiyah Shofar for the Miyushuv. So the bracha was ready, took effect on the Tekiyah Shofar Miyushuv. On the other hand, the mitzvah is not really completed. The mitzvah has not been fulfilled in its entirety until after the Tekiyah of, I'll say, the brachas. So that was an old shayla that appears in the Rif in the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah. So the Rif quotes that Shalom Akami Reish Masiftan, that this shayla was sent to the Rosh Hashivas in Bavel as to what the answer to this question is. Are you permitted to talk at that point or not? So the Rosh Hashiva in Bavel, the Reish Masifta, came up with a split psak. He said that lechatchil you're not supposed to talk, but the evidence of Yisbach, so then you don't have to make another bracha. One would have thought maybe you have to mamish make a new bracha. It's mamish like a hefsek literally, and it ruins the entire bracha. So kamash b'lano, but the evidence you're okay, you don't have to make another bracha, but lechatchila you're not supposed to talk. That was the psak that was given by the Reish Masifta. How did the Reish Masifta know you're not allowed to talk? Where did he get it from? So we dug up a gemara in Maseches Menachos, Maseches Saita, that talks about if a person talks between the Tefillin Shayad and the Tefillin Shorosh. You make a bracha niach tefillin, and the Gemara says you're not allowed to talk until you finish putting on the shorosh. And if you talk, that's an aveira. So the Rif quotes from the Reish Masifta, just as it's an aveira to talk between the shayad and the shorosh, so too it's an aveira to talk between the miyushiv and the meumah. So the Baal Amor on that Rif says he doesn't know what he's talking about. He says there's no comparison at all between the two. But that's a special unique din by tefillin, because by tefillin the Torah says uksharatem liosadech v'hil totefos benenecha. So v'hayu is a lashon rabim, it's in plural. V'hayu means it goes on both. It has to be a tzir, there has to be a connection between the shayad and shorosh. So if you talk, you broke up that connection, so that you ruined the tzir of the two mitzvahs. But tekiyah shofar, there's no such halacha, and therefore as long as you started doing the tekiyah, so then if you talk, that's not the end of the world. So machlekes the Rif and the Reish Masifta against the Baal Amor, is there anything wrong? The Chachilu were talking at that point. So in Shulchan Aruch, we pass in the Chumra, like the Reish Masifta and the Rif, that you're not supposed to talk. And that's why many shuls, the rabbi makes an announcement that you're not supposed to talk. That's what we do in our shul. So right before the Tekiyah Shofar, so I get up and announce that everyone should be quiet from here on until the end of the Tekiyah. So the Ikra Din is that you really only have to be quiet until the end of the Tekiyah Sastei Debrachas, until Shofaros, because that's the last Tekiyah that are really, really required in the Ikra Din. So I never say that. I don't say everyone has to be quiet from now to the end of Shofaros, because everyone's going to start to talk during Ritzei. You're not supposed to be talking Sosa Shatz. So I change the announcement a little bit. So I say that everyone should be quiet not to talk from now until the last Tekiyah at the end of Davening. So it's not a Sheker, that announcement, because according to Rabbeinu Tam, it makes sense, because according to Rabbeinu Tam, we may not have been yet to Tekiyah Shofar yet, because we didn't have a Shvarm Truas Bin Vez Neshivas. So I keep everybody's mouth shut for another 20 minutes. Everyone keeps quiet. And sure. I remember the when I was a Rav in Paramus. So the first Tekiyah Shofar. So I announced. I said that nobody should talk, and nobody should say bracha v'ruch shemot to the brachas. So I meant to say you shouldn't say bracha v'ruch shemot to the brachas al the shmochel shofar, because when you yaitzei a brach from somebody, you're not supposed to be mafsik. Bracha v'ruch shemot is not mikra din, so you're not supposed to be mafsik in the middle of a bracha. So I announced that no one should talk from now till the end of davening, and one does not yaitzei bracha v'ruch shemot to the brachas. So all the balabatim thought that I meant that all the brachas of chazos hashatz, you don't yaitzei bracha v'ruch shemot and Rosh Hashanah. So all of a sudden the shul became the way of Yisrael. Nobody said bracha v'ruch shemot. So after davening was over, when the balabatim came up, he said, he never heard of that chumrah. I said, I never heard of that chumrah. I said, I didn't even say it. He said, no, you said not to say brach shmot the brach. I said, I meant the brachas of the shofar. I didn't mean all the brachas. So the next day, I spoke in shul, I quoted the Gemara Maseches Pesachim. The Gemara tells a story in the Sefer Pesachim that a rabbi came to a town and before Pesach and Yibid Rasha, that everybody should bring Mayim Shalonu, so for the baking of the batzah. So Mayim Shalonu means that water that's slept overnight, water that cooled down overnight, make sure it doesn't become chametz. That's the din. You have to bake matzahs with Mayim Shalonu. So all the Balabatim brought Jewish water. They thought that he meant you have to bring from Jewish wells. They thought Shalonu meant our water. So all the Balabatim brought them Jewish water. So that's the story. So Chaim Shlevitz, I think, writes in one of the Sichos Musar, said, why did I tell us the story? Make fun of the Baal Batim? The Baal Batim didn't understand what the rabbi was talking about. So he said, no, the point was to show you what a munis chachamim, that even though the Baal Batim didn't know what he was talking about, they said they've been baking matzahs for 50 years, no one heard the Mishigas Chumim. But it must be the rabbi has his shita, so it must be we have to make him happy. So I give such credit to all the Baal Batim. They never heard of this nonsense of not saying Boch, Boch, Shemo, Joach, Zos, Hashatz, but the rabbi had gives up, so they all listened. So the next day, nobody listened afterwards. Everyone said Boch, Boch. Okay, back to the story. So the bottom line is we blow shofar multiple times, and we're hopefully good to go by the time all the kishur is over. When the Torah presents us the mitzvah kishur shofar, so it presents it in a slightly different term. One in Parshas Emor and one in Parshas Pinchas. In Parshas Pinchas, the Torah says Yom Tri Elachem. In Parshas Emor, it says Zichron Trua Mikra Kodesh. What is the difference between the two, between the Yom Trua and the Zichron Trua? So the Gemara in the beginning of the fourth parak of Rosh Hashanah suggests that maybe Yom Trua means to actually blow, and Zichron Trua means just to talk about blowing, not to actually blow itself. So what do you mean? Are you supposed to blow or not supposed to blow? So the Gemara says, Kan B'Shabbos, Kan B'Chol. That when Rosh Hashanah falls out on a weekday, then you have to blow. When Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, then you don't blow. Then you just talk about the shofar. You daven Musaf, you don't talk about the shofar. And that's a din in HaTorah. So the Gemara quotes that as a possibility, and then the Gemara asks the question, eventually rejects it and says, that's not true. That both Psukim, Zichron and Yom Tshuva, they all mean the same thing. It all means to blow. I mean, HaTorah, you have to blow Bein B'chol, Bein B'Shabbos. The fact that we don't blow shofar on Shabbos, that's a totally different reason. That has nothing to do with the Psukim, that's a din with the Rabbanon. The Chazal were afraid that we may come to carry the shofar. That's the reason why we don't shake a lulav on Shabbos, you don't read the Megillah on Shabbos. That's called Gezeira de Rabba. We're afraid that Shemi Avreda Da'an Amos. We're afraid you may come to carry the shofar. So Min HaTorah, you really taka should blow shofar, but Midrabanan, we don't. So even though the Gemara and the Ba'avli rejects that original Havamina, that Zichron refers to Shabbos, the Rishalmi says it, and the Rishalmi sticks to it as the Maskana. So the Rishalmi, the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael, Taka held like the Havamina, the Bavli, and all the Gemara's kashas, the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael weren't too worried about. Whatever the answer to those kashas are, doesn't matter. The bottom line to Machlek is the Bavli, the Rishalmi, why do we not blow shofar on Shabbos? So according to the Bavli, it's Min HaTorah. Also, the Bavli told him it's Rabbanan. According to the Rishalmi, it's Min HaTorah. How do we paskin? So we usually fasken like the Bavli, the Rif in the end of Maseches Erevin quotes a tradition from the Gaonim that whenever there's a machlokes, the Bavli Rishon, we always follow the Bavli, because the Bavli is Basra. The Bavli was written later, and the Chachmei Bavel had access to what it said in the Rishami, and those things that they disagreed with what it said in the Rishami, so they had the right to disagree with it, and they followed the later opinions. So we, generally speaking, we're going to follow the Bavli. So we pasken halacha that Yom Tru and Zichron Tru all mean the same thing. So nevertheless, even though we hold it all means the same things, there is no difference between Shabbos and a weekday. The Shita say Rishalmi has snuck into our Nusach HaTefillah a little bit, because when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, so we say, so on a weekday we say Yom Trua, Mikra Kodesh, on Shabbos we say Yom Zichron Trua. We throw in the brackets of the Art Scroll, the Siddur, it says Zichron. So we throw in the word Zichron from the Lach to remind us of Rishalmi. Mishra Esrei and Kiddush, etc. We always throw in the word Zichron. So it's a little bit of a pellet, because it's not true. So I'll leave it to Emes and Halach, it's not really correct, because Shabbos and Chol the same thing, but somehow the Lashon of Tefillah, it's good enough. For Tefillah, you can rely on the Rishami. Zichron makes sense. But Mikra Din, it doesn't really mean any difference. So Tacha, why does the Torah say it? So if the Torah means the same thing, why does it say one place Yom, what does it say Yom Tro, it say one place Zichron Tro? Is there any difference at all? So the Gemara at the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah has drashas from the phrase Zichron Tru'ah. So the Gemara says in the first Berakah of Rosh Hashanah, that it says a little more in the fourth Berakah of Rosh Hashanah, that there's a din that on Rosh Hashanah you have to mention the Psukim of Malchias, of Zichronis and Shofars. That Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Im Lufanei Malchias, Kadesh Tavichuni Aleichem, people of fun is zichron. Zichron is k'tesh yiyu zichronecha nafan l'tayva v'me'a v'shoifar. So Gemara derives from this psukim, zichron means zichroners, and shofar means and trua means shofar, and yesh alukecha means malchus. A whole chagad, your whole drasha, the Gemara has that the kan from this pasuk of zichron that you have to talk about the shofar. It's not enough just to blow the shofar; you have to talk about the shofar also. And the talking about the shofar is accomplished by the amiras apsukim of malchus, chos, and shofar. That's what the Mishnah records in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, that when you daven on Rosh Hashanah, so you have to daven 9 brachas. Regular yontif, you daven only 7 brachas on Musaf, but on Rosh Hashanah you have to daven 9 brachas, because you have to add in, you have to chaperain extra brachas. The malchus gets stuck into kedushas hayom, so it's not a separate bracha. That's why we conclude the bracha melech kol haaretz bekadosh shmo v'yom hazikaron. So you kol both biyachad, and then zichronos gets its zecher bris, and shofars gets shomei kol tos amos abrachamim. Each one of the added brachas adds to the tally of brachas on Rosh Hashanah. So this whole halacha that we daven these unique brachas on Rosh Hashanah has its roots in this pasuk, this phrase zichron trua. So there's a machlekes Rashi and the Ramban and Chumash. Just how literally does this practice have its root in these psukim? Is this a real dim in HaTorah? Mamash b'daraisa, you have to say machas, chos, and shofars? So Rashi seems to say yes. A few indications from Rashi, Chumash, Rashi, Rosh Hashanah seem to hold that there's a real dim in HaTorah that you have to daven machas, chos, and shofars in Rosh Hashanah. And the Ramban of HaTorah says, Ramban says there is no such halacha, that there's no such requirement b'daraisa to daven machas, chos, and shofars. Never was. How did the Ramban know that Rashi is not right? So the Ramban has a Rashi from a Gemara at the end of Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says that if a guy lives out in the farm somewhere and he doesn't have a shofar, he doesn't have a machzor, he doesn't have a chazan, he has no idea how to daven, doesn't know how to blow nothing, and there are two towns he can go to, but he can't go to both. Both out of the chumas. He only has to choose which direction he's going to go to. One town has a baltakei with a shofar, and the other town has a chazan. So the Gemara says you go to the shofar, not to the chazan. Why? Hadderaisa hadderabonim. Because the shofar is deraisa and the davening musaf is only mid the rabbanon. So ask the Ramban, if Rashi is right, that there's a real din in HaTorah of zichron trua, so why is that a less of a mitzvah than yom trua? There are two different mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah to blow and a mitzvah to talk about blowing. So why did the Gemara assume that one is better than the other? So you see from here, Rashi is not right. So what's pshat in Rashi? So all the Acharim explain, basically he said in Rashi is as follows. Rashi holds that if and when you're blowing, so then when you daven, the davening adds a component, adds a kiyum to the blowing also. If you just stam daven without blowing shofar, that's only a mitzvah midrabanan. But if you are already blowing and you're talking about the blowing, so that becomes like a deraisa. Some want to say, like, mashal v'davedoyim, like, when you eat matzah, so you have to talk about the matzah also. Matzah is a pesach, so if you eat matzah, so that there's a kiyum deraisa to talk about the matzah also. If you're on a desert island and you don't know matzah, so then there's no independent kiyum of a matzah is a pesach. Maybe Haggadah there is, but there's no separate mitzvah of a matzah is a pesach. So it's ka'ein that idea. That the shofar is a mitzvah that stands on its own 2 feet. Whether you're davening or not davening, you're mechruv to blow shofar min haTorah. If you're going to daven with a shofar, then the davening becomes deraisa. If you're going to daven without a shofar, then the davening is only midrabbanan. So it doesn't make much of a difference for us. The bottom line, we're going to daven machas chos shofars and rishon. We're going to follow what it says in the mishnayos. We're going to blow. I'll say the brachas. We're going to daven shoy. So there was a two very important machloksev that were raging in the days of the Gaon, in the days of the Rishonim, that finally have been put to rest in the last 800 years or so, about who exactly says the machas chos and shofar. So some Rishonim said that only the Baal Tefillah says, the Chazan says machas chos and shofar. Everybody else davens a solemn shmoneh esrei, regular 7 brachas. Middle bracha is a regular kedushas hayom. That would shave off about 40 minutes off the davening Rosh Hashanah. That musaf is a regular chik chak Shabbos yontif davening. And then the about tefillah, the chazan starts saying a longer megillah of machas chos and shofars. So we don't pass like that. So the idachi said there were other rishonim who said that machas chos and shofars is said by all the shmoneh esrei, not just musaf. It's said by ma'ariv, by shachris, by musaf mincha. That would have 2.5 hours to our davening. So we don't pass like that either. So we're somewhere in the middle. So we don't have. We don't just exempt ourselves with having the chazan. On the other hand, we don't insist on all the tefillahs. So by davening adds an extra 40 minutes or so. It doesn't add a shachris and mincha, doesn't get too long. We added on more piyutim, so now davening takes a lot longer also, but that's, can't blame chazal for that. That was post the days of chazal. So back to that story. The bottom line is we recite machas, chos, and shofars, and we're good to go. So what is the thrust of machas, chos, and shofars? So the Mishnayos and the Gemara and the end of Rosh Hashanah tell us that each of the three themes of the Yom of Rosh Hashanah, machas, chos, and shofars, you have to support with psukim. You can't just say, Hashem, you're the king. Prove it. Navi. So what's the raya? So pasuk in Chumash, it says Hashem is the king. And then you bring a pasuk in Navi, then Hashem is the king. And you bring a pasuk in Tilma, Hashem is the king. And you do three of three and three, you keep on going. And then for the grand finale, you throw in a tenth pasuk from Chumash. So that was the tzur, the chazal and misakin. But the evidence, if he said less than that, you'd also be, I'd say, but the tzur lechatchila of the proof of the Machas Chumash show for us is three pasukim from Chumash, three pasukim from Nevi'im, three pasukim from Ksuvim, and from Nevi'im. And then you do the same pizm and the same story for Zichronis and for Shefus. It is clear from the Gemara that Chazal will never misakein which psukim to choose. You can choose whichever ones you want. They just have to be appropriate psukim. But if they meet the criteria, it says the word Malchus, it says Shofar, it says the right words, so then those would be good. And then you have a choice which ones you want to, which ones you want to pick. And our Nuscha Tvila, most shuls have the same. Not all. There are some, the Ekistak have a little bit of a different piyut. That could be some of the Sephardi communities that I'm not familiar with. But in the Nuscha Ashkenaz, as a general standard, Nuscha Ashkenaz shuls, we all say the same psukim. We all start with the same three Malchus and the same three Zichronis. So Shofar said we all say basically the same psukim. There were a couple of psukim that were a little bit shaky, whether they're really appropriate to be said. So the Rishonim had a big issue with the last pasuk that we say, the 30th pasuk that we quote as the biggest problem. The problem is the last pasuk of Chumash to be mashlim the 10 psukim of Shofaros. So the pasuk is from Parshas Baloscha. The reason why the Rishonim had a problem with it is that it doesn't have the magic word shofar in it. It's the most important word it's missing. It's a great tune. It's very nice, it's very upbeat and everything, but it has nothing to do with shofar. So some Rishonim said it's all a mistake, you gotta cut it out, you gotta find, go search the Chumash for another pasuk with the word shofar in it. So our minig is not that way. Our minig is like the Rishonim who defended the practice. The Rishonim defended the practice by saying that first of all, 10 psukim was on the chelchila, but the evidence is even less than that. And number two, it's such a nice pasuk, you know, and chatzotz and shofars are similar a little bit to one another, so, you know, rounding third anyway, so you're yaitse anyway, you already won the game, you're ready to yaitse with all the psukim, so the 10th pasuk will let you get away with the diavadika pasuk. So, among the things, a strange thing. The last pasuk, the last one, is the most problematic of all the psukim, and that's the minig Yisrael that we conclude with Yom Simchasa. There's another pasuk in there in Zichronis that some were mefakvik on. One of the psukim that we say in Zichronis is, Zeicha Aslan if Laisav Chan Varacham Hashem. So the Rav had a tie against that. He said, the pasuk is true but irrelevant. It's nothing to do with Zichronis. Zichronis means that Hashem remembers us. So, like we say, Halach Vekarasa Zachariti Lo Chesed Arayach, or Vahiska Lakimas Briso. Those are Zichronis. He said, Zeicha Aslan if Laisav means that Baruch Hu made a way for us to remember his Niflos. The wrong person, the wrong being remembering the wrong thing. So that pasuk doesn't really exist. So the Rav said, yeah, throw another pasuk in for good luck. So there are some people who have another pasuk. If you ever go to a shul and they add in a fourth pasuk, so the chazan didn't make it up. So that's the minig in some communities that they've thrown in another pasuk. They found another pasuk somewhere in Novi to make up for that phantom pasuk. And those who follow it says, nah, maxi. Follow it says, maxi. Different minhagim. But the evidence, yes, everyone's for sure, yes, because you don't even need 10 pasukim. So whatever you say is good enough. So the bottom line is, so we have two parts of it, of the mitzayim. We have the derais of Kishofer. We have the potential derais to accompany according to Rashi, or the derabban according to Ramban, and machas goes and shofers. So we try to fulfill the mitzayim properly. Hopefully, mitzvah next week. So we'll talk a little bit about simchas ayom and other aspects of minhagi ayom, other issues of tefillah and other minhagim that we have to kind of see if we can complete the Rosh Hashanah part of this series. Okay.